Happy Father's Day.
Fathers of America, the world. I guess if there was a sermon that I was going to preach to myself, it would be this one. Actually, I wrote it for myself. So let's take the journey together. It is interesting to me that growing up, we, at a young age, prior to when we could really grasp the whole experience of finally getting to know who our father was, we would say little comments like, "My father's the best. My father is the greatest. He is the strongest. He's the wealthiest." And then I had to concede. I lost out there. But I can remember as a child growing up thinking that my father was everything. And then when you're doing 40 different jobs, you get a little behind in the process. Anyway, I thought my dad was it. And then I got to know him. No, teasing you. But we used to think that. I don't know if you did or not. But Dad was great. But there was one kind of downer in my life as far as my dad's relationship and I is he was always gone. Can you guess what profession he was in? Same one as me, a minister. He'd take me to school in the morning and I'd see him again the next morning for school. And once in a while, he'd rearrange his schedule to come to a softball game. And after realizing that, I determined in my mind the last thing I wanted to be was a minister. Because my dad was never around. And I struggled with that inside for a long time, and then I came to the realization that, yeah, I was going to go in a whole different direction. I was thinking about dentistry and the whole, that whole thing. And sitting at my dental lab one day, God knocked on my door and said, "I want you to be in ministry." And so here I am. And the very thing that I said I wouldn't do, I did. You ever read Romans? My first district was three churches, and I was never home for my kids. I was never there at some of the events of their life because I was doing ministry. And I can remember in school, there was this directive from the teachers that, number one, God was first, number two was family, and number three was church, and somehow 95% of ministers have it all turned around, and it's church first, God, and then family. I went to school with about 12 ministers' kids. And three of us are still with Jesus Christ today. That's a pretty amazing result. And I look at my kids today and praise the Lord, we have a great relationship. But I never was able to sit down and just be able to talk with them about issues in their life. I was never able to do special things with them because I was out doing ministry. And I guarantee you, if I had it all over to do all over again today, I'd take 2 to 3 nights off a week. And we would work something out with the rest of you. But I realize the tragedy that takes place in ministers' home, and guess what? It happens in every other home just as well. I just so love this text in John 5, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. You can follow along with me in yours if you choose so. It says, Jesus gave them this answer in response to the relationship that he had with his own Father. And he was arguing with the Pharisees here in order to let them know who he was. And he says this, I tell you the truth, as if Jesus was going to lie. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Love that text. What an ideal relationship these two have. The very thing that I hoped and dreamed for. And with my dad gone so much, I'd go over to my friend's house and there were their fathers were. And the fathers would come out and play with us, and I just dreamed of how special that would be. But Jesus gives us a very beautiful picture of what a real relationship should be with Father and Son. First, let's look at, I can only do what my Father does. How many of you had the opportunity to go out with your father and pull a motor apart? How many of you had the ability and the opportunity just to go out and work together? There is something really amazing about the experience to be with your father pulling an engine apart, working in the yard together, going shopping together. Wow. Reminds me of the story. In this relationship of fathers and sons, had a father, I'll never forget this, the father, I heard him whispering to his kids, and I got the feeling at home that a mandate was given by mother is don't buy the kids candy. It had to be what she said. And he said, go ahead and choose which candy you want. And then he whispers, don't tell your mother. We're so deceptive as human beings. I learned something from that experience. Because what's the ideal of a father? What do we picture in our mind as what a father should be? What should a father look like? Some of us have had some dysfunctional homes with fathers. And they didn't come out in a pretty picture like we would dream they would be. Some of us have gone through some tragic experiences that have given us a view of a father, and we equate that with God, and that is our picture of God. And it has destroyed the value of that relationship. And it's tragic. What is the greatest experience for relationships between their father and the children? It comes encapsulated in one word, T-I-M-E, time. And as you know, I was not a father like that. But I want to encourage you today that you need to spend time with your kids. The thing is, folks, is if you have a kid, you have a responsibility. And you better take it seriously. If you have a child, it is imperative that you spend quality time with that child if you want them to grow up and be everything you desire for them. I was in San Antonio, Texas, a year ago, doing this road show for this company in Costco. And I'm out there, you know, just like any salesman would do, and giving little samples to everybody walking by so they'd come over and kind of test it all out. And the little kids would run by and I'd say, "Would you mind if I gave your child a little lotion?" And so I'd squirt. And if they did not say thank you, the parents were there and said, "And what do you say?" And I was just so amazed, and I thought, I'm picking up and moving to Texas. And then I realized it was humid down there, and I didn't want to do that. But that was so refreshing to me. It's a little courtesy, a little practical mentoring taking place where a child would just automatically say, "Thank you." You see that very much anymore? If my kids didn't do it, I would have whipped on them. But that is one thing that they did learn, is respect for people. What is one of the biggest problems you have with your kids in your home? Cleaning their room? Eating their food? Not fighting? A father came to me one day and said he was getting ragged on because he wasn't taking responsibility for helping his son clean his room. And of course, that is a challenge. It's a pain to go in there, okay, clean your room. What happens in this scenario? We say, "Johnny, Susie, I want you to go in there. I want you to make your bed. I want you to pick up your toys. I want you to put your clothes away." And we give them this whole list. And an hour later we come back and maybe one sock has moved 2 inches. And he was frustrated and he didn't like his wife hounding on him. And so I said, "You know, I'm going to give you a little thought here." And guess what? I just learned it about a week ago prior to talking to him. And I said, "Why don't you do this? If you want your child to learn how to responsibly take care of this, then you better do something about it yourself with your own things. Because Dad's stuff was all over too." Maybe not in the same way. But if you want them to learn to enjoy it, be excited about it, and experience it, and do it, then you go in there and you do it with them for 6 months. Put some lively music on. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. Make it something wonderful to do. And when they see that you're enjoying it, they're going to take responsibility and do it too. That simple. What does the text say? Children can only see what to do when the father, mother, part of Mother's Day sermon here, an adult goes in and processes and does it together with a child. And it's never too late to begin to do that process. You begin as soon as they walk and talk and give them a little responsibility. And when they've got that down, you go to the next responsibility. And a little more and a little more. And I'll guarantee you, by the time they become teenagers, they will be responsible teenagers. Because they'll feel good about themselves. They'll realize the importance of cleanliness is next to godliness. And it's amazing how it works. And I confess, I learned most of this too late. But I want to share it with you because it's so important. Teach them how to treat others with respect. Always be courteous and polite with younger children. Define the words courteous and polite. Talk through those words of what they mean and how they work in your life. Do these things with your child. Now, I realize that there are some fathers who are quiet individuals, and it does not come naturally. Well, you better get it right. You better start learning it, because they're going to look up to you. And what they see will is become what they do. I can remember at a youth camp one time, I was young. I blew it. But I said to these young people, guess what? You're going to be just like your parents when you grow up. Not in quite the same words, but real close. And here is this groan all over the camp. Oh, no, can't be. I mean, it was just like that. Boy, I lost my audience for the rest of the week. Growing up, you don't want to be like your parents. But if you take time to talk about it, what does courteous mean? Show them what it means to be courteous. Take them out and show them what it means to open the door for your wife. Uh-oh. I guess that isn't done anymore, is it? Show them that. Show them what it means to do all of these little things that you desire them to do so that they can see what it is like. So that they can begin to take responsibility. What do we do when we want our kids to learn about selfishness and to being selfless, to share their toys? Reminds me of the story that I just read recently about a father who wanted to give a glimpse to his son what it meant to live in a world where we have so much here in America. So he joined up with a mission trip and went, I believe it was to Africa. And here there were poor conditions. The homes were not magnificent like he had. Went through this whole experience for a week of helping people and in this foreign country. And the father comes home, and so he sits down and he says, I want to just talk about this. How did you feel this trip went? Did you enjoy it? Give me your impressions of what you thought. And the father was just picturing in his mind, boy, they didn't have very much. And on and on and on. And he was thinking, and the son surprised his dad. His son said, you know, they had a little house it took less time to take care of. They had more land than we have and more animals than we have. They had so much more than we did. There's more stars in the sky. And he was going and enumerating on all these things, and it just, the dad was speechless. And the agenda that he was trying to get across to his son just kind of went over his head, realizing that sometimes we get different perspectives in our lives about different things. And I'll tell you, children are so honest. they're going to give you the truth. Time, the biggest factor that we all have in the equation of guiding our children to be who they are and can be. It's a huge responsibility. But folks, we have chosen it when we have brought a child into this earth to live, and we have the responsibility to give them the best. And it's not all of the fluff, but it's reality. I want you to think just for a minute. Maybe even let it go beyond a minute. If Jesus turned out to be who he was, how much time then do you think Jesus spent with his Father? His earthly Father versus and his heavenly Father. To me, I see Jesus standing side by side in the carpenter shop, watching every move that Joseph made. I see Joseph putting the tools up on the rack. I see Joseph, after he had finished working, sweeping up the sawdust off the floor. I see Joseph leaving his little shop with every place in order, every order in place, waiting for the next day. And what gives me this insight? Because cleanliness is next to godliness. And Jesus, on his resurrection morn, not only did he rise, but he neatly folded his clothes and set them at the foot in the tomb. So I ask again, how much time do you think Joseph, his earthly father, and Jesus with his heavenly father spent together? The issue is time. If there is something that interferes with your family, then you need to change your priority. Because we are expected as children of God to act like children of God that represent a heavenly Father. That should come home to us. It comes home to me. About the time that we need to spend with our heavenly Father. Because that will dictate and determine the quality of who we are. Happy Father's Day. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful that we have a model that we can connect with, that we can have somebody that we can see how to do it right. Lord, let us connect with you. Our Father. Lord, bless us, we pray. Bless the fathers. Empower them to be the men they need to be in Christ. We thank you in his name. Amen. Again, happy Father's Day. God bless. Touch somebody's life this week in his name. Amen.